is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our final interview of the year on this program, and we're talking to Douglas County Commissioner Tim Freeman to cover a number of things. Tim, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on.
Well, the year's end, what a year it's been in Douglas County.
It has been a very long and difficult year, but there's been some positive things this year, too. We're here at the county trying to focus on those.
Talk about just maybe some housekeeping things as we get into early next week and the start of a brand new year. I know there is the swearing in of some public officials.
Well, yeah, you know, the amazing work that's been going on here at the county, we tend to focus, you know, a lot on what's happening around COVID, but, you know, the staff here continues to do all the regular work that needs to be done at the county, and we, again, have some amazing staff here at the county. We have four elected official positions that this year were either reelected or newly elected, and those are the district attorney was reelected, the sheriff was reelected, the clerk that had been appointed, he was elected, and now we're going to have a new treasurer come in. So, of course, district attorney Rick Wiesenberg has been here. Him and the sheriff, John Hanlon, both were running for office at the same time I was running for state representative back in 2008. I believe the DA had already been appointed, but the sheriff was running in an open seat, and I got to know both of them pretty well during that time. We were doing a lot of candidate forums and those type of things, and then, you know, I went off to the state for 6 years and then got to come work with them, so they're both coming back. Dan Loomis was appointed to fill a vacancy. Our longtime clerk, Patty Hitt, for personal reasons, left, and that created a vacancy, and Dan came in. Could not have come in a more difficult time with the incredible scrutiny around this presidential election, layered with the COVID restrictions and all the challenges of running a large presidential election during the time of COVID, and I couldn't be more proud of the work that him and his team have done. There's questions around election security and scrutiny all over the country, but not here in Douglas County. I think they did a fantastic job. And then our treasurer that's been here, Dick Philly, he chose not to rerun for office, and Dick did a fine job here with us and decided that he'd put enough time in, and we now have Sam Lee joining us. So he'll be really the newest of the new starting Monday.
And it's hard to think about, you know, all these normal things going on, because you're right. The focus really has been, in a lot of cases, on COVID-19. But it's also, you know, been on the wildfire recovery situation. And because that just came, you know, so quickly and devastated so many lives in the county, there's been a lot of work going on there, too.
Well, certainly that was a good lesson for us. You know, as we recap the year, we realized that just because you have one emergency going on, that doesn't make you immune from having another one happen. So right in the middle of our COVID-19 response work, we had what is the largest, most household loss fire in the history of the county that we had to deal with. And that work does continue, and it's important work. One of the beauties of having three county commissioners is we can divvy up some of the liaison and lead work on this. And Commissioner Kress very quickly took over taking on the fire recovery. We got Dan Carr, who's been our fire recovery specialist, hired, and he's doing that work. And, you know, that involves a lot of different moving parts, building and planning, and our public works folks. And, you know, there were some park properties damaged and many homes, and trying to get all those pieces put together just requires a whole host of additional work, working with federal partners like FEMA and working with Red Cross and Salvation Army and all the other organizations that are trying to help, State of Oregon trying to help get people's homes rebuilt, has taken a tremendous amount of work. And again, I want to keep saying this is on top of all the normal functions of county government that have to happen. And you know, we're pretty proud this year of the fact that, but for just a little bit of time, we've had the courthouse open. We've been serving the public. We've been making sure those core functions of county government that people rely on, like feeding seniors and having safe roads and the dispatch center and the sheriff's department and the veterans department and the whole host of, you know, our big juvenile services, those things that we do that are critically important continue to happen while we've dealt with COVID and the fire recovery. And fire recovery is going to take some time. That's going to go on for a while.
And talk about how it works in terms of different levels of government cooperating on the wildfire recovery. I mean, you've got roads that are under different jurisdictions. You've got public lands by different agencies. You have private lands. Even on the county level, you have things like road signs. I mean, clear down to, you know, figuring out how many road signs need to be redone and things like that. It seems like a whole lot of work.
Well, I think anybody that's been up to the fire area understands the complete devastation, and I mean devastations of the structures, devastations of all the trees and the wildlife and infrastructure. You know, it was amazing to me just days after the fire blew through there, going up through there and seeing that all the guardrail posts were burnt, and there was holes in the side of the road where those guardrail posts had been. Not only did they burn off level with the ground, but they burnt down into the ground. But there's, you know, other things that we have to consider, like on county roads where there used to be trees that really acted as guardrails are no longer there. Like up Rock Creek, there's going to be areas that we're going to have to put in whole new sections of guardrails that we didn't have to have before. Those folks that lost homes, many of their sewer systems were compromised because of the heat they went through, and those will have to be, you know, assessed and rebuilt. And I didn't realize it, and it's something that you guys just doesn't know until you go through this. But most of the foundations would have gotten so hot that they have to be replaced. So a whole tremendous amount of work has to occur. Virtually all the power utility was all destroyed. And you know, we know the fish hatcheries burn up and gone. And, you know, there's just a tremendous amount of rebuilding of all aspects. You talked a little bit about the different ownerships. You know, the bulk of the fire was on the checkerboard. It was on the ONC private land checkerboard. And that is very complicated. Those ONC lands are those lands are under different classifications as far as reserve and habitat and what can be managed, what can be salvaged, what has to be left, where the hazard trees can be removed, where they can't be removed. And then the very next door neighbor's private land where they're, in my opinion, doing the right thing and they're removing all that dead wood and planting new trees. So, you know, all that goes on. You got the Forest Service that had a significant amount of land in the fire, but some of that Forest Service land is also ONC land managed by the Forest Service as controverted land. So, you know, in the middle of that, you have several businesses and all those homes, and then you got damage to infrastructure like at Steamboat Inn. You know, the inn itself was okay, but their water system got burned up. So lots of work that has to be done up the river and navigating through all the different federal and state agencies, and honestly here at the county, going and getting building permits and septic tank approvals and all those things, it just is very complicated. And that's why we have a full-time recovery coordinator dedicated to helping people get through that maze of agencies and red tape.
Well, it's definitely going to be a long-term situation. Some of the FEMA information I've read along the way from other disasters, however they were caused, hurricanes, et cetera, a lot of times it talks about 2 years before you even really get partially back to normal. And so there's a long road ahead for a lot of residents in Douglas County and for all these government agencies you mentioned.
Yeah, and I think you're being maybe a little bit generous with the time. Just this week, we got a notice, email string around final reimbursement from the Stouts Creek fire to the Oregon Department of Forestry. So what's that, 4 years ago, 5 years ago now? So I think it takes a while for that all get kind of worked out. And one thing here at Douglas County, we've made a commitment early on. We're not only pushing the federal and state agencies to move as quickly as possible, but at times we're not waiting for them and moving forward where we have the authority and the ability to get people back rebuilding their homes and wanting to get them back on their property and you know, continuing to enjoy what is so wonderful about living here in Douglas County.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. County Commissioner Tim Freeman. More when we come back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Of course, no program tomorrow with the holiday, back on Monday. And as we start the new year, let's talk about health and fitness with, I believe it'll be Juliet Palencias of Blue Zone's Project Umpqua to talk about getting fit in all kinds of ways in the brand new year. County Commissioner Tim Freeman on with us now. Let's switch gears and talk about, on the county level, dealing with the COVID-19 situation. What's that part been like for the past 10 months?
Sure, glad you're not having me talk about the health and fitness. So I'm happy to talk about the COVID, though. So I went back and looked. It was March 4th of this year. The Board of Commissioners delegated authority to me to start working on this COVID response, and that's when we started bringing our team together. So we've been so fortunate here at the county to bring together what I believe is one of the best response teams one could ever hope for in dealing with this kind of an emergency. And it has been 10 months, and it's been an amazing group of people doing some very difficult work. So everybody from DPHN, which is our normal contractor to do some of our public health work, they're normally, you know, 6 employees, and they had a relatively new executive director there. They're now at almost 40 employees and have been at that level for quite a while. Dr. Dannenhofer, he's normally a part-time public health officer here at the county, and he's been working full-time for most of that time and plus more than full-time. Our Emergency Operations Center was made up of some amazing county employees that have other responsibilities here at the county. As an example, our finance director, she came and became the finance division chief for our Emergency Operations Center. Wayne Stinson, who's our emergency manager, you know, with 40-something years of experience, just tremendous level of people here at the county. But then we had to reach outside the county and find other people to join our Emergency Operations Center. People like Casey Bolton, is a retired military career in the military. He did hospital, emergency hospital planning, and had great relationships with all the different healthcare organizations in Douglas County. Where it was one day I was able to call all those healthcare organizations' lead person, CEOs, presidents, and alike, and ask them to help, and they all said yes. Amazing community to come help us. Our information, and our information really is our sort of main strategy on how to deal with this COVID. Tamara Howell, our public information officer, runs a joint information center. They're just about to reach 400. I think they're at 397 today of press releases and newsletters and information sent out to the public since this started. And that information and our strategy is to give the public the best information and recommendations and ask them to make the right decisions. The county has chosen not to enforce mandates, and not to mandate to people, but to ask them to do the right thing, give them the right information. And this week, Dr. Dannenhofer did a quick check. I have him checked every now and then. Of all the counties in the United States with 100,000 or more, Douglas County had the lowest infection rate. At the beginning of all this, we were slated to be the fourth worst in the nation. And I attribute that to that information out to the public and having them make the right decisions. I also give DPHN a lot of credit for the amount of work calling and contact tracing and case managing and helping people understand best practices when they do have COVID so they don't infect others. Yesterday we did some budget adjustments, and it gave me a chance to look at how much work has been done sort of in the background supporting all the COVID work. And we will spend – we literally over doubled the amount of money for public health that we would normally spend in a year. We did a budget adjustment yesterday, and all that extra work of tracking the dollars and making sure we're spending things correctly and accounting for everything. All that work is done up in management finance without additional personnel, and they didn't have extra people. And there's just story after story of that takes a team of people doing this work. And again, I think we have one of the best teams, if not the best team in the state. Our county, working with our public health nonprofit, first to do a drive-through clinic, first to have a call center, one of the very first to build capacity and contract and help other counties. So we've helped six other counties. When our case count was low, we continued to build capacity and contracted with and helped other counties. So when things got bad here, we had that capacity online, ready to deal with our own problems here in Douglas County. So just I'm tremendously grateful for all that. There's certainly been some lessons learned along the way. You know, the amount of folks that have passed away from this is just tremendous, and I feel horrible for them and their families to have to go through this. And we continue to message out to people to follow the recommendations, to do those small but important things to keep this virus in check as the vaccines come out and as the cases will go down over time, and we can get back to normal, or what I'm hoping for is a better normal. People being more conscious of illness and staying home when they're sick and not going to work and get others sick. And I think there's a lot of things that we can learn from this that'll make us a better community.
You were recently reelected to another term as president of the Association of ONC County Board. Talk about that work, even in the midst of everything else that's been going on this year.
Well, the good news, the good news about the federal lands ONC work is that I can do a lot of that early in the morning, because a lot of that has to do with talking to folks in Washington, D.C., and you know, talking to the Department of Interior and the BLM folks back in D.C., and our congressmen that we work with and others back there, agency folks. And it makes it easy because I can do that from 5 a.m. here till 8 a.m. and do that, you know, because they're 3 hours ahead of us. So that's one nice thing about that particular role. We've had some successes, and we continue to be challenged. You know, last year at this time, we were really excited. We had just won our two federal lawsuits and look forward to the remedies and getting on with developing a new resource management plan. That has proven to be difficult. We're still in the remedy phase. We have not, there has not been an agreed upon remedy. A lot more information we've had to gather and bring in. The current administration has done several really important things around some of the regulations and the protests and things that make it hard for the agency to manage. We're grateful for that. They did some work around category exclusions for post-fire management that we were involved in my opinion, not nearly enough, but something, and those will get applied to the trying to do a little bit of post-fire management on the Archie Creek fire. But certainly an honor to continue to serve as the president of that group. We're looking forward to, we've got a commitment from Clackamas County to rejoin our group. They had left for a couple of years, upset about the lawsuits, but they've had a change in commissioners up there, and I'm very hopeful that they'll rejoin our organization, and having more counties involved is better for us, and certainly gives us a stronger voice.
And not only changes around counties, but at the federal level, there are always folks coming and going, different administrations, things like that. And so while you see shifts at times that you might like, next year may be different.
Yeah, well, that's certainly something that's, you know, a challenge. Every time there's an administrative change, the top-level folks at Department of Interior that oversees the BLM that manages the ONC, that will change, and we recognize that that will change, and we'll have to start making relationships with new folks and telling our story and educating. We have an incredibly great story. The 1937 ONC Act was the first conservation act. It calls for sustained yield management, which means never harvest more than grows. It's a great story to tell. There is a way to achieve all the different values of these public lands and produce the timber necessary to keep our mills and our citizens working at the same time, creating habitat and recreation and clean water and all those things that we need out of our forest. And we love telling that story. We've got a new state director that started this last summer that we're looking forward to continuing to build a relationship with. Just last week, we were on a call for a little over an hour with him, and he's a Eastern Oregon guy, but he certainly understands our issue, and we're excited about continuing to build that relationship.
About a minute left. You also have issues like the Secure Rural Schools situation not getting resolved this year.
Yeah, so the Secure Rural School program expired October 1st, 2020. So that program is currently expired. So we're out on actual receipts. On the ONC side of that equation, it's not a big deal because the Secure Rural School amount has dropped so much every year that now the Title I, the general fund portion of Secure Rural Schools on ONC, is likely to be lower than the actual timber receipts off ONC land. So that part's not a big deal. On the Forest Service side, however, it is a big deal. The actual receipts are about 10% of what Secure Rural School funding is. And, of course, those are the dollars we use to pay for our sheriff's department patrol. The whole patrol division's paid out of that money. So we are still part of that discussion about Secure Rural Schools, and we are the number one Secure Rural School receiving county in the nation. That's out of 40 states and 700 counties. So we certainly have to be a part of that conversation as time goes on, too.
And do you have any hopes that that will get resolved anytime soon?
Well, yes. Again, it's 40 states and 700 counties. We're hoping that resolution will include counties being able to opt out and take the receipts, you know, which again are a higher amount, and gets us reconnected to managing the forest. And we think that's a path to victory.
County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.